Blog Talk Radio.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain, I will rise.
rise. We will rise. Soon as that shofar, the trumpet of the Lord sounds, the church of God is going to disappear. It won't be around anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Amen. That shofar is like sweet music to our ears. We thank the Lord, hallelujah, who is merciful and who is good, who is calling us to repenting, who is calling us to himself before his come, before his return. My brother, my sister, there is no place safer than being in the hand of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When that shofar sound, we want to dwell under the shadow, or we want to be dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, my brother, my sister. And we will rise, as the music said. We will rise. We definitely will rise. We thank the Lord for his love, for his mercy, and for his grace that endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone can hear me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Brother Estrada. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen, brother. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Zapata, speaking to you from the highest mountain of North Carolina. Waiting here by the direction of Jesus for the rapture, departure of the bride of Christ. My brother and sister, that it's not far to happen. It's closer by the minute. Hallelujah. And the bride of Christ is going to disappear. My brother and sister, hallelujah. I have a message for today, a revelation from the Lord to share. Sometimes when I get something that I compare to other revelation the Lord's given me, I say this is one of the most powerful ones. But I don't know. It just might be my opinion. I'll let you decide. It is powerful. It is powerful though. Here's the confirmation. I had someone message me. I think it was before the day yesterday. What revelation have the Lord has given me, okay? The Lord has made other people aware of this revelation tonight, my brother and sister. I was in Tennessee yesterday, and I had this man approach me and said, hallelujah, we begin a conversation about the Bible, and he says, what message are you going to share tomorrow, okay, with the people? And I'm standing there looking at him. His name is John, in case he's listening. Okay? And John had a beard like John the Apostle. And I said to him, John, every time I meet a John, I think about John of the Apostle, because Jesus said he can keep him alive until his return. Okay? And he thought it was so funny. My brother and sister. But he had a beard like John. He has stayed away from the bicing, and he's him and his family. I mean, we just met, and we share some of the revelation, and he was like, wow, where are you? So I'm in Nashville. And my Lord, my God, God always has a plan and a purpose to meet people. My brother and sister, praise you, Lord. Thank you, God, for him. Amen. So he asked me what message I was going to share tonight. What is it that God wanted me to share? And I shared with him what it was. And he thought it was very stunning. And then he shared me how God had separated him and his family from the world system. Okay? And his kids don't even go to school. They homeschool him. Him and his wife, there are, I believe, four of them. And I thought it was so awesome, met his children. They're like angels, my brother and sister. Blue eyes, beautiful. God is so good. God is so good. We're meeting the family. My Lord, my God. Amen. So two people the Lord sent my way to ask me what I was going to share tonight. So tonight's message, I believe, very important. My brother and my sister, to the Lord first. Amen. Because it was the Lord that I saw in this revelation. My brother and my sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And in this revelation, I want to go into the Word of God. Always the Word of God. I learned as I came to the Lord that you always present the Word of God first. Because everything you say afterwards has to fall into the Word of God. My brother and sister, this revelation, I believe, very powerful from the Lord. And so I have to go into the Word, because in this revelation, Jesus is calling America back to him. My brother and sister, I saw Jesus. And America turns around to Jesus and says, we will make our own way. America says back to Jesus, we will make our own way. Well, that's the title of this message. Okay, America make her own way. Okay, that's the title of this message. My brother and sister, I will share the revelation. Okay, during this revelation, I said Sister Celestia was right. Sister Celestia was right. Okay, because she then made a video about this, and exactly what Jesus showed her, he showed me about America, my brother and my sister. And this is why it's so stunning. Amen? Hallelujah. But the Lord was calling America to come. Come. Okay? Second Chronicle 39, when you return to the Lord, your relative and your children will find compassion from those who captured them. They will return to this land. The Lord your God is merciful and compassionate. He will not turn his face away from you if you return to him. Listen, America. Listen, America. Our Lord is compassionate. Okay? If you return to him, he will have compassion on you. Okay? Praise the Lord. He will have compassion on you if you return to him, he says. Okay? When he says that your children will find compassion from those who captured them. It's important that we teach everyone. America needs to know that all the children growing in this nation, if they know the Lord, if they return to the Lord, they will have compassion of them that will capture this nation. Because this nation has already been given to China and Russia, my brother and my sister. Okay? And there's no going back anymore. Nehemiah 1:9, if you return to me and continue to obey my commandments, though your people may be driven to the most distant point in the horizon, I will come and get you from there and bring you to this place where I have chosen to put my name, my Lord. My God, he's merciful. Praise you, Lord. I believe this message is just so important, America. People of this nation. Hallelujah, who have turned their back on God. The God, I saw Jesus calling America to return back to his way, my brother and sister. But America was refusing, was telling the Lord, no, we will make our own way, my Lord, my God. Job 10:9, please remember that you made me out of the clay, that you will return me to the dust again. This is what the world, this nation and the world, and now I say the world, because in this revelation, I saw America, and I saw the leaders of other nations listening to America, following. America is the leaders of so many nations, my brother and sister. And they are doing what America is telling them to do, my brother and sister. That's what they're doing. Hallelujah. It's so sad. Isaiah 30:15. This is what the Almighty Lord, the Holy One of Israel, say. You can be saved by returning to me. You can have rest. You can be strong by being quiet and by trusting me, but you don't want that. Oh, my Lord, the God knows. The God knows. Shalom, sister. Hallelujah. The God knows what's in people's heart very well. Okay? God knows. God knows what's in everyone's heart. And God knows the heart of those two that have refused to turn back to him. I see calling them to repenting and to turn back to him. My brother, my sister. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 8:4. Say to them, this is what the Almighty Lord say. When someone fall, get up, back up. And when someone return away from me, return. Hallelujah. Return, God says. Hallelujah. God is calling America to return back to him. My brother insisted. America has to choose to return back to the Lord. He's not going to make you. But through his enemy, my Lord, my God, he will destroy you, America. Hallelujah. God is calling America to return. Jeremiah 8:5. The people of Jerusalem turn away from me without even returning. They still climb to deceive. They refuse to return. My Lord, God knows the heart of the people. My brother and sister, America is heading in the same way. It's heading with the same action, with the same attitude, with the same ungratitude behavior before God. My brother and sister, Salon Joseph, my brother and sister, this is an ungratitude behavior that this nation has toward God. And God is telling them to return. Okay, before I continue with more verses, let me tell you. In this revelation, I keep saying, the Lord brings me in the spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Before America, I saw America having a meeting. I saw the lady of America, well known to many in the revelation from the Lord, like Sister Celestia. As I heard America giving her, America was saying to the leader, we will make our own way. Hallelujah. We will not return to the old way. Hallelujah. We will not return to the old way that we used to be, a Christian nation. My brother and sister, what she meant. Hallelujah. We will not return to trial and testing again. In her speech, America was saying to God, we will not return to your ways. We will not return to trial and testing anymore. We will make our own ways. We're saying to God, I said, looking over the cloud of America, Jesus was showing me that we should see the sign of the destruction of America by seeing the formation of the cloud, by seeing how the weather, my brother and sister, had changed, how the wind, my brother and sister, is announcing, hallelujah, the wind over America is announcing the judgment that is coming over America. Remember that the Holy Spirit in the Bible is like the wind. The wind is a form of God speaking to us. The cloud of a form of God speaking to us, my brother and sister. God does just not speak by the word, but he speaks, my brother and sister, by his creation. And what's been happening in America in this hurricane that just passed eon, my brother and sister, eon is like endless. Hallelujah. Eon was God showing this nation that he can use something to destroy this nation, and everything he's going to use from now on, hallelujah, it is to destroy this nation. Earthquakes and tsunami and hurricanes and tornadoes will speak for themselves of the destruction that they're bringing upon America. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, as I'm looking at all these judgments of America with the cloud and all this, I can recognize the main judgment over this nation. I can see America speaking to all these leaders, my brother and sister. And from the cloud, there was lightning and thundering as I'm looking. And I keep saying Sister Celestia was right, my brother and sister. And as there was thundering in cloud, I saw Jesus. Hallelujah. I saw the Lord coming from the cloud over America. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus, my brother and sister. And hallelujah. As the Lord came and was standing right there, hallelujah, I saw this lady America, hallelujah, from the place she was giving her speech. I saw, my brother and sister, how she walked to where Jesus was and slapped him on his face. But before she did, I saw Jesus telling America, return to my way. And America turned to the Lord and say, no, we are going to make our own way. My brother and sister, I was stunned that this nation can speak this way to God, that this nation can disrespect the creator of this nation this way. My brother insisted, but the people of America have come to this level. This nation has come to this level of disrespect, my brother insisted, of hatred toward the Lord. My brother insisted, when ministers in this nation are being thrown in jail without seeing a judge in one day, my brother insisted, this nation is expressing the hatred to the Lord. And the Lord showing me this, I kept saying as I was watching this mighty vision of the Lord, Sister Celestial is right. Sister Celestial is right, my brother insisted. Hallelujah. And hallelujah, she walked up to Jesus and slapping on his face, my brother insisted. The Lord revealed to Sister Celestial what the slap means. Hallelujah. My brother insisted. Hallelujah. The Lord, Benjamin his mind, says the Lord in his word, he is going to deal with America. This slap, it's not going to continue anymore. This is not going to happen again because destruction has been spoken by the Lord through his prophet over this nation. And very soon, very near, this nation is not going to be anymore. This nation economy is going to fall. This nation city are going to destroy where there will never be rebuilt again. America will never be rebuilt again. California is going to be destroyed. Chicago is going to be destroyed. New York City is going to be destroyed. Almost every single major city of this nation are going to be destroyed, and America will not be anymore. She has slapped the Lord for the last time, my brother insisted. The Lord had called this nation long enough to repenting. Long enough to return back to him. In this nation, my brother and sister, hallelujah, is full of hatred for Jesus. It's full of hatred for God. And enough is enough. Israel went to the same level, my brother and sister, of hatred toward God. My brother and sister, where they, hallelujah, did not want it anymore to listen. My brother and sister, did not want it, hallelujah, to do, hallelujah, to walk God's way anymore. They were tired, hallelujah, according to them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God says to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 58, had a cry aloud, don't hold back. Raise your voice like a ram horn. Tell my people about the rebellion and the descending of Jacob about their sin. They look for me every day and want to know my ways. They act if they were a nation that has done what is right. If they, like if they haven't disregarded God's judgment on them. And as for me to the, hallelujah, for just decreed, they, hallelujah, they want God to be near them. My brother insisted, America act in the same manner with the same behavior. My brother insisted, they don't want to turn back. The Lord was calling America back to his discipline. My brother and sister in America was rejecting the Hebrews 12:11. Hallelujah. We don't enjoy being disciplined. It's always seemed to cause more pain than joy. But later on those who learn from that discipline, they have peace that comes from doing what is right, says the writer of Hebrew. My brother and sister, Leviticus 26:18, if you still will not listen to me, I will bring you 7 times for your sin. Hallelujah. The Lord says there through Moses to his people. 7 times he will discipline, my brother and sister, the people, the nation, for their sins, God says. Hallelujah. And then he said, if his discipline does not help and you still resist, oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Verse 20, Leviticus 26, 28, I will fiercely resist you. I will discipline you 7 times for your sin. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 8, 5, learn the lesson by the heart. The Lord your God, hallelujah, was disciplining you as a parent discipline their children. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Deuteronomy 11:2. Remember today that the discipline you learn from the Lord your God, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, they seen or see an experience of any of this, you still the experience of great power, his mighty hand, and his powerful arm. Thank you, Jesus. Joel 5:17. Blessing comes when God corrects you. Blessing is, blesses the person whom God corrects. Hallelujah. The person should not despise discipline from the Almighty, says Job. Exactly. My brother and sister, but America is doing so. America is rejecting God's discipline, the Lord's discipline, the maker of the heaven and earth. America is rejecting. America is slapping him on his face. And America is saying to the Lord, we are not going to follow your way. We are going to make our own way, which is the title of this message. My brother and sisters, this is so sad. I'm standing there, I'm hearing this, and I'm stunned, and I keep saying, Sister Celestial is right. Sister Celestial is right. Praise the Lord. Job 37:13. Whether for discipline or for good or for his earth, on our mercy, he makes a storm appear. My brother and sister, the discipline of the Lord is so necessary in our lives that we cannot say no. No. Psalm 38:1, Psalm of David, keep in mind, the Lord did not agreeably punish me or discipline me in your wrath. Hallelujah. 39:11, and when the stern warning you discipline the people for the crying like a mob, you eat away what is near to them. Certainly everyone is like a whisper and of the wind. Psalm 50:17, you hate discipline. You toss my word behind you. Hallelujah. That's what the children of Israel was doing, tossing his word behind them. Hallelujah. That's throwing away the Bible. Can you, hallelujah, see, hallelujah, when someone is rejecting discipline? My brother and sister, Psalm 94:12. Oh, Lord, blesses the person whom you discipline and instruct you from your teaching. Amen. 118:18, the Lord disciplined me severely, but he did not allow me to be killed. Notice this. If we refuse the discipline of the Lord, he will allow the people to be killed. It happened to Israel in the time of Jeremiah. My brother and my sister. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, there were things that the Lord showed me in this revelation where America is putting the trust. My brother and sister, one is the technology, the AI, the electronic technology. The Lord showed me very clear, my brother and sister, the power in their mind is what they're putting the trust. My brother and sister, years ago, this nation trusted on the Lord, even though they had so much power in their hand. So much weapon. Their trust was still on the Lord and not on the army and on the weapon and all that. And out of that relationship of God, of the knowledge and wisdom of God, they were able to make these weapons. Now they're doing the opposite. They are trusting on the weapon, the army, the power, and not on the Lord, my brother and sister. And this is why they're going to fall. Hallelujah. So much demonic falling knowledge that they're getting. Proverbs 1:2. To grab wisdom and discipline is to understand deep tops. That's what they used to have, deep knowledge from the Lord. My brother and sister, Proverbs 1:3, inquire the discipline, wise behavior, righteousness, and justice, and fairness. Amen. 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Stubborn fool despite wisdom and discipline. Look what God is calling them, stubborn fool. My brother and sister, Proverbs 1:8, listen to the wisdom, my son. Listen to your father's discipline, and do not neglect your mother's teaching. Okay, Proverbs 1:9, hallelujah. My brother and sister, because of the discipline and teaching, a grateful garland and your head and golden chain around your neck. So it's precious. Hold on to it as a precious something that God has given. Proverbs 3:11, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, my son. Do not resent his warning. And that's what this nation is doing. They are rejecting it. They are resenting. Hallelujah. It's something that they don't want to receive. It's something that they don't want to hear. My brother insisted. And there are actually people that will log in. They want to hear about heaven. But when I talk about something that the Lord revealed to me, that this nation is doing wrong, they log out immediately. Well, tonight I'm not going to listen to Brother Ari because he's talking about what's going to happen to this nation. We don't want to hear. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear about heaven. You need to understand the discipline of the Lord. This is very important. My brother and sister, Proverbs 4:13, climb to the discipline. Do not relax your grip on it. Keep it because it is your life. Climb. Hallelujah. Climb to the discipline. Discipline of the Lord is actually a blessing to us. I learned this over the years. Discipline of the Lord is a blessing to our life. Hallelujah. It's such a blessing. My brother insisted. Hallelujah. Proverbs 5:12. Oh, how I hate discipline. How my heart despises correction. This is the word of the wicked. Proverbs 5:23. Hallelujah. He will die for his lack of discipline and stumble around because of his great stupidity. The word of God Bible says. Okay? The King James says fool or foolishness. Okay? Stupidity. That's what this Bible calls it. My brother and sister. Proverbs 6:23, because of the command is the lamp, the teaching are a light, and the warning for discipline are the path of life. It's to keep us in the right way of the Lord, in the way of the Lord, that we don't turn to the right or to the left, my brother and sister. Okay? This is important. Hallelujah. Proverbs 8:10, take my discipline and not silver, knowledge rather than fine gold. But people say they prefer the gold. Okay? God says, take my discipline, not silver. My knowledge rather than fine gold. Okay? But America says to God, no, they prefer gold. My brother insisted. But there's none. There's none. Because actually, all the major banks in Europe already have dumped the dollar as the reserve currency. And they are turning back to gold. Whatever little money they have, that is still worth buying gold. Major banks have dumped the dollar as the reserve currency that has been the reserve currency in Europe and around the world since 1942. Since Congress declared the dollar will be the world reserve, hallelujah, money, currency, my brother insisted. And they have began in 2017, they began to dump the dollar as a reserve currency. Major banks are going back to gold. This is why our economy is falling, and it will completely fall, as the dollar is not anymore the reserve currency, not in Europe anywhere, not in any country in Europe is the dollar the reserve currency anymore. They are buying gold. German, France, all these countries. I didn't know this. I found out this a couple of days ago, how God leave these messages to me. For me to learn, my brother and sister, for people that are in those business, that the dollar is not the reserve currency anymore. As China and Russia and India have built bricks, their own economy, where the dollar is not counted in, no, by their own currency, which they have been investing in gold for years. My brother and sister, the reason why Russia went to Ukraine already and is doing what they're doing, because they've been investing in gold for years, and their banks are full of gold. And so is China, and so is India. My brother insisted. They have built their own economy, which is counted for 70% of the world economy. It's between what they have built, BRICS. And many other nations have joined BRICS. My brother insisted. Have joined Russia, China, and India. Many other nations are joining them as the days are going by, because it's a stronger economy, my brother insisted. America is going lonely. They've been going lonely, my brother insisted. That's why you can watch the stock market to lose every single month now, since last year, 14%. You can look it up yourself. No one needs to tell you this. Look how the stock market is going down from 37,000. My brother and sister, a share is down to 29,200. And it's not going to go over that. It's going to continue to go down. Some days that we're seeing, because they're trying to push it, printing out more money, that is going to go up. And then in a week or a day, it's going to drop, my brother and sister, another 14%. 14% every single month is going down, my brother and sister. It's going to completely to fall. Hallelujah. Lots of investors by thousands are leaving the United States and are going to those countries to join BRICS, to put their money in BRICS, because this market in BRICS is about $90 trillion between China, Russia, and India. $90 trillion market. And they know that market will remain. The other market that we know is going to fall 100%. I learned it this week. I was stunned, my brother and sister. And all the people that they're trying to keep not from leaving the country, they are leaving the country. They're moving their billions away from this country. They know the stock market is going to fall. And these people thinking by printing money, they're going to keep the stock market running. It's not going to, because they don't hardly have any gold here. The problem is they don't have gold. My brother insisted. They don't have a base on what to keep this economy going. This economy is going to fall 100%. My brother insisted. America is falling every day, 14% every month. This is so sad to say it and hear it, but that's just what's happening. Proverbs 8:33, listen to the discipline and become wise. Do not leave my way. Look what the Lord said. Do not leave my way. Jesus wanted to show me how this nation is so deceived that they are thinking they're going to go on making their own ways without the Lord, and that is impossible. There have not been no nations that have been able to go forth without the Lord, making their own way. Rome, fallen. Any other nation, Babylon, fallen back then, that had tried to do it, are fallen, have disappeared. My brother insisted. And so it will happen to America. America will be no more. The Lord has said it to his prophet. There's been many people crying for this nation for mercy. Hallelujah. And God is still calling them to return to him. Hallelujah. Shalom, Sister Luna. But this is the way things are going. There's no return from this. Hallelujah. Proverbs 10:17. Whosoever practices discipline is on the way to life. But whosoever ignore the way straight. Hallelujah. And this is what a lot of people are doing. They are ignoring. Instead of staying with what the Lord is saying, practicing discipline is on the way to life, God says. But they are refusing the discipline of the Lord. They are ignoring the straight way. They are ignoring the way of the Lord. And they're falling in the way of death. My brothers and sisters, falling in the way of death. Hallelujah. Proverbs 12:1. Whosoever loves discipline loves to learn. But whosoever hates correction is a dumb animal. Says the Word of God Bible. Dumb animal. It's referred to a person that behaved this way. My brother, my sister. Hallelujah. It's so sad. The King James calls them fool. They call them dumb animal. My brother and sister. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son listens to his father's discipline, but a mocker do not listen to the ripping him. My brother and sister. In other words, the mocker rejects the correction from God. Hallelujah. But the end is not going to be good, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13:18. Poverty and shame come to the person who ignores discipline. Poverty. Hallelujah. Whosoever pay attention to constructive criticism will be honored. There you go. And you said constructive criticism, which is discipline. My brother, it's a correction. Correction is the correct word for that. We need to be corrected in the Lord, because we are born in a system full of pride, and we learn pride, and we think it's okay, and it's not with God. Lord is so humble. Heaven is taught about humility. Whosoever Lord humbled himself will be exalted. That's how heaven is. Whoever's humbled himself will be exalted. But on earth, whoever prides themselves is exalted. It's the opposite to heaven. And we learn it, we're born into a system that pride is exalted and humility is called stupid. My brother and sister, humility is criticizing, called crazy and stupid. Hallelujah. And lack of knowledge. They are so pride and they criticize humility. And God is calling us to be humble, to humble ourselves in order for us to be exalted before God, bring high before God. My brother and sister. Oh, my Lord. Proverbs 13:24, Whosoever refused to spank his son, hate him. But whosoever loved his discipline him from early on. Hallelujah. And our system tells us we cannot spank our children. My brother and sister. It's a fallen system. It's not a system of God anymore for a long time. And this is why it's fallen. This is why it's so far from God. Because God wants discipline. Proverbs 15:5. The stubborn fool despises his father's discipline. But whoever appreciates the warning, show good sense. And this is what God has given us, warning, before it's too late. Because it will be too late for many people. My brother and sister, how many years before, when I came on the Lord's job, before COVID-19 and all that, I was warning people to return to the Lord because death was coming. Many lives were going to be lost. How many people were listening to me from New York City, give you an example, California and around the world, but mostly for New York City, that ignored the warning. Then came COVID-19. Most all those people had died. My brother said, they're no more. They're no more. Only a few that have received the word of the Lord and have repented, been in daily repenting, are still alive. But many, even taking the vaccine, have died. My brother and sister, when people despise the warning of the Lord, death is the only outcome. Proverbs 15:10, discipline is a terrible burden to anyone who leaves the right path. Anyone who hates the warning will die. There's no other way. No other way. My brother and sister. And this is what happened when people return from years of listening and come back and see what happened over the year, because they saw how we began warning people of what was coming. And many mocked and called us crazy. And when all this happened now, people are looking back and say, Brother Elby was right. Oh, God was warning us. God is right because he's right. He's right. He's at the right hand of Father sitting. We're learning from him, who is humble and meek of heart, my brother and sister, so we can find peace for our soul. Thank you, Lord. But it's hard and difficult. Hard and difficult. I have brothers and sisters write to me and say, Brother Elby, when you came on the Lord's table years ago, we started warning our family. And our family did not listen to us. Most of all those people are dead now. Those that didn't want to hear, those that call you, Brother Elby, you're crazy, they're dead. They're dead. God did not want them to die. God did not want them to die. That's why he brought people like me, to warn them from the Lord of what was coming, my brother and sister. But if they despise the discipline of the Lord, it's not on me. My obligation here, my job is to warn people from the Lord. After that, once they hear, my brother and sister, it's on them with God. Hallelujah. Whether they take it to heart, And listen to the Lord and do what he wants them to do. Repent and seek his ways. Proverbs 15:32, whosoever ignores discipline despise himself. But the person who listens to whining gain understanding. And that's what we get whining from the Lord here. My brother and sister, we gain understanding when we listen to what the Lord has said. And that's what happened to many people. The Lord and his mercy has given us more understanding of what's happening over the years. My brother and sister, we know that judgment is on the horizon. Earthquakes and tsunami, the Lord has told us they're coming. They're very close. My brother, and you can already see the earth shaking in the different place, but not in the strategic places of the United States that the Lord says judgment is coming. Yes, it's a minor earthquake hitting this nation because it's always like a small shaking, mounting pressure under the earth, but the big one is going to hit. My brother and sister, the question is, are they ready? Because many lives are going to be lost in California. Last time the Lord showed me that the earthquake of California, I was crying like a baby, seeing children and adults, so many of them dead, especially children. Because the children cannot move away from where God is telling them to move away unless their parent leads them out. But if the parent who has children decide to stay, their children will also going to die, my brother and sister. And seeing all these dead bodies of all these children, of all these people, my cry, my brother and sister, I cry very much for this because it's not something you want to see. The first time the Lord showed it to me, he did not show me the dead body. And someone said, Brother Elby, have you seen the dead body? I said, no. The Lord was keeping me from that pain. I've seen the dead body in California. My brother and sister, but as it is in California, so will be Chicago and New York. There are cities that are for judgment in this nation that they will not escape his judgment. This nation will not escape his judgment. My brother and sister, destruction is on the horizon of this nation, like people cannot even imagine. I am very sure of this, that when this earthquake hit California, I will have thousands of people logging on the Lord Tower to tell me about this from the different place. The Lord, it began with hundreds of people. When the Lord showed me this, after the earthquake in California, I remember one of the last time, the Lord came to me and said, my son, they're not listening to you now, but they will join your program after it happens. Okay? Many will believe after they see it. And then it happens, and it was so severe, my brother and sister, because people don't understand. When the Lord said that a mighty earthquake like this is going to hit a nation, a country, a state, the more the people refuse to repent, the harder the judgment will be. And when the earthquake hit, my brother and sister, I came here on the Lord Tower, we still have power, to open the program. Hundreds of people began to join in the chat room. The Lord was showing me. Hundreds and more, and hundreds and hundreds. It went over 1,000 and more people just kept coming into the chat room, joining and joining and joining. The Lord was there showing me this. Look, I was stunned of how many people were joining every minute, every second. My brother insisted, because it's going to take this judgment for people to be awakened. My brother insisted, this is what it's going to take. Only a few, the Lord knew, he showed me a few years ago, that will be here. Not many. My brother insisted. I remember seeing less than 20 in the chat room, just like it is now. My brother insisted. And then after the judgment happened, people began to join and join and join and join. Hallelujah. It's so sad that people need to see the belief. The Bible said that we walk by faith, not by sight. If you doubt the word, go to the Lord. Look what the Lord confirmed to me, what he showed Sister Celestia, how this nation had turned against them. My brother and sister, the same revelation he gave her, he showed me to confirm it. Keep her in prayer, my brother and sister, because many people like her who come on the air so strong, many of them, the government had gone after them and removed them. Keep her in prayer, the Lord will protect her. My brother and sister, my Lord, my God, but the judgment is so close. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son while there's still hope. Do not be the one responsible for his death. So we discipline our children while there's still opportunity, my brother and sister, to do so. Hallelujah. So we don't be responsible for what happened, where they lie afterward. Proverbs 19:20, listen to the advice, accept discipline, so that you may be wise for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. When you accept discipline from God, you're going to be wise for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. You're going to go into eternity with God. And your wisdom is going to increase in God more and more. You may have over 1,000 questions or 1,000,000 questions for the Lord now. It will all be answered for you in second in heaven. And you won't have not much question after that. Then you go on learning. And I heard the Lord say yes. And learning. And learning. He said that yes, so clear. Praise the Lord. And learning of him. He has so much to teach us. We know so little. Thank you, the Lord said yes. We know so little, my brother and sister. So little, so little. We are so little before him. So, so little. And we know so little. But when we go to eternity, he's going to teach us his ways. I saw Jesus giving classes to his church, teaching them in like a group setting, my brother and sister in heaven. The power and light emanating out of him was beautiful. And the church was radiant and beautiful, holy, before him. Hallelujah, my brother and sister. And he was teaching them, hallelujah, with great, great revelation, like we had, I don't believe seen. He can teach a one-on-one so much now, but everything is little now. And so we're before him, and he himself teaching us. I didn't see him telling anyone to teach us in heaven. Jesus himself was teaching the class to his church. My brother and sister, get ready for that. Get ready. No more minister, no more pastor, no more prophet. None of that. My brother and sister, none of that. I believe those that call themselves church and ministers and pastors have done a poor job a lot of time teaching people down here because they out of their own opinion. And every time the Lord gives us a word and we'll go ahead and out of our own opinion, we ruin things a lot of time. The word of God is pure, the Bible says. The word of God is pure. It's so powerful enough to cleanse us and purify us and remove the things out of our lives that are not of God. My brother and sister, that, thank you, Lord. The Lord says, amen. That when we speak his word will do the job. Hallelujah. Our opinion, oh my Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Because sometimes I believe we speak too much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 23:2, live a more disciplined life and listen careful to the word of knowledge. Amen. Proverbs 23:13, do not hesitate to discipline a child. If you spank him, he will not die. Praise the Lord. But America is saying to God that if you spank a children, put the parents in jail. They're going against God's word, my brother, my sister. And for all this, they will have to give them an account because they don't have the right to tell God how a child to be disciplined, but they should be listening to God. And how shall their child be disciplined? Because God tells us how, my brother, my sister. He tells us how. Proverbs 22:23, buy true and do not sell it. This is by wisdom, discipline, and understanding. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. What an awesome God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 26:16, oh Lord, the people who come to you in trouble, they were humbled by your oppression, by your discipline upon them. Amen. Notice that when we return to the Lord and we humble ourselves, he began to discipline us first. Because a lot of time, the Lord was speaking to me about this a couple of weeks ago. I was getting frustrated with some of the things that I was doing. And Jesus came to me and said that if I would follow his way, I would not be frustrated. Okay? If I will seek from him to lead me, I will not be frustrated. And basically, when we are frustrated, like we say, I'm so frustrated, people say, we say it about different things that we have to deal with in life. By seeking the way of the Lord says, we won't be frustrated. My brother and sister, because a lot of us are not used to praying for every little thing that we go on in our life to do. And we should do it, even before you buy a car. My brother, even if you go anywhere, travel to pray about it before you go. If you do this and you seek the leading of the Lord for every little thing that you do, you won't be frustrated, Jesus was telling me. Hello, because he will tell us exactly what to do. But we want to go on our life and make decisions and do the things that we want to do, the things that we like. And a lot of times, most of the time, or 99.9 or 100%, we're wrong. The way I see it is God, the Lord, is 100% right. We are 100% wrong. Following his ways is the right way. My brother, my sister. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 7:28. You will say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the Lord their God, but did not accept discipline. Truth hath disappeared and vanished from their lips. There you go. Notice how much in trouble these people got with God. This is why they got so frustrated with Jeremiah the prophet, because Jeremiah was speaking from God, the word of God. And the word of God was for them to follow the word of the Lord. But they wanted to follow their own way or the way of other nations. Notice how America looks into other nations and the law. So judges here to make law. Judges are not made to make law. They're made to interpret law. Congress made law, my brother and sister. But you got all these judges making law in this nation or changing the law or giving the law a different interpretation in America. So everything is being changed. The right that's been established by the first men that were Congress here in the United States under the fear of God, according to the word of God, are being changed day by day. In America, it's not the same anymore. Because every time you change the weight of the Lord, you, like the devil when he was kicked out of heaven, he was a bright angel, like a bright star. He became darkened and darkened and darkened. His shape, his form of all these fallen angels have changed. They're more horrible. They're more ugly. They have no light. They have nothing pure in them. They have forgotten how to love and how to be loved. My brother and sister, they were made in the loving person of God, in the pure holiness and righteousness and anointing of God. Now they're out of it, miserable, insulting and beating one another. My brother and sister, in hell, without love, without mercy, without kindness, all the fruit of the Spirit in them are gone. My brother and sister, that's what the nation who forsaken God is leading into. And America has been leading into that for many years. They are behaving and acting like the fallen angels that they're believing in more every single day. My brother, my sister, hallelujah. My Lord have mercy. My Lord. This is why Pelosi and them in the inauguration of Biden were praying to fallen angels. Because that's what the nation is heading to. Hallelujah. Just like in the days of Noah. Just like in the days of Law. It will be at the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus said. See? The word of God is being fulfilled every day right before us. They're being led into worshiping the creation, Roman 1. Instead of the creator. And they changed their sex. Homosexuals and lesbians they became. And abortion is an everyday thing, my brother and sister. Killing, killing, killing. Because the Bible said that the thief, the devil, John 10:10, came but to kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus says, I came that they may have life after that. And had abundant life. As they follow the devil, everything is killing, stealing from the people. And destroying people's life and marriage and taking homes away from people, destroying family. They're going in the same way as the father of the devil, my brother and sister. Jeremiah 17:23, your ancestors did not obey me or pay attention to me. They were impossible to deal and will not listen or accept discipline. America, as Jesus is calling her to his way, as I saw Jesus, America can hear Jesus calling her to his way. And they said, no, we will make our own ways. America's making her own ways. And their nation following America into destruction. Not for too long, because many will forsake these nations. The one that they still are being trust of being friend to them, soon they will learn that they will turn their back to them when the judgment began. My brother and sister, America will not escape her judgment. My brother and my sister, hallelujah, because they have not trusted in the Lord, who is my refuge, says David. Hallelujah. The Lord is our refuge. They have forsaken their refuge. Jeremiah 31:8, I have certainly heard Ephraim mourn and say, you disciplined me. And I was disciplined. I was like a young answering calf. Turn me, and I will be turned. Because you are Lord, my God. When people humble themselves to the Lord, they immediately know that they need to turn to his way and receive his discipline. Thank you, Lord. We should be asking the Lord to change us, to cleanse us, to purify us, to help us to be perfect like our Father who's in heaven, to help us to be holy like Jesus and to be humble like the Holy Spirit. We should be praying this. We should be praying pride, doubt, and unbelief every day, my brother and sister, because this is what has been in our lives since we were born, pride, doubt, and unbelief. This is what we've learned since we started going to grammar school, my brother and sister, high school, and so much more. We've been learning pride. Our system is full of pride everywhere. In school, when you do good, according to them, because you're not even doing good, you're not doing right, you're doing left. That's why when you are born, you write from right to left. In school, they teach you to write from left to right. They turn you around. They turn your mind around. And you don't learn good. You learn evil. You learn pride. Everything you learn in grammar school, hallelujah, in middle school, in high school, in college, you're learning pride. You talk to a lawyer or a teacher, a professor that's repent and turn to Jesus, who's been away from God, believing in evolution. If you don't get it, if you don't get out of the faith, they'll slap you. They'll call the police on you. My brother, my sister, they are rejecting the Lord, and that is going to cost their own life. My brother, my sister, they're rejecting the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 21:10, it's sharpened to kill and polished flash like lightning. How can we rejoice? My son has refused to discipline or be punished. Hallelujah. God is calling them to discipline them, and they refuse. God said through the prophet Ezekiel, they refuse. When people are turning away from God, they begin to refuse his discipline. My brother and sister, America is there right now, rejecting God's discipline. And Ezekiel 21:13, testing will surely come. What if you refuse to be disciplined again? Won't you be tested, declare the Lord Almighty? Hallelujah. If you decide to be disciplined, won't you be tested? Of course. Because testing as a Christian is part of the discipline of the Lord. We cannot refuse the testing, the trial. In America, Jesus was showing me this week, says that they were refusing God's testing and trial. My brother and sister, they're tired of it. They don't want to do it anymore, they were saying to the Lord. And the Lord was saying, return to my way, America. Turn to my way. And America said to the Lord, we will make our own way, after it slapped Jesus in the face. In this revelation, my brother and sister, my Lord, 1 Corinthians 11:32. But when the Lord judges us, he disciplines us so that he won't be condemning alone with the rest of the world. Hallelujah. Paul says to the Corinthians, God is doing this to save you, so he won't have to condemn you. Yes, because we are so sinful. This body is so sinful. And so the Lord disciplines us, correcting us, testing us, hallelujah, to save our own lives in order for him to bring us to heaven. My brother and sister, because we had learned wrong from our system. But the Lord who's right wants to teach us his way right. Ephesians 6:4, Father, don't make your children bitter about life. Instead, bring them up in the Christian discipline and instruction. Hallelujah. You can make your own children being bitter by abusing them, mistreating them, and insulting them. Hallelujah. But if you fear the Lord and teach them the fear of the Lord, teach them discipline, the discipline of the Lord, hallelujah, they will grow up in the Lord and learn of the Lord. My brother and sister, through his word. I get surprised when my children ask me questions about the Lord, about his word. The way my son Joshua would ask me, I'm standing there, I'm like, wow, because as they learn every little thing, the Lord keeps enlightening them, revealing, giving them more. And then when he shares something from the Lord, because it's wisdom, they're stunned like, wow, the wisdom the Lord can give a child, my brother and sister, because it sounds like something you never heard from their mouth, my brother and sister. My Lord, God is so awesome. 2 Thessalonians 3:6, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we order you not to associate with any believer who doesn't live a disciplined life and doesn't follow the tradition you receive from us. This is the part where many are confused about or has not done right. How do you fellowship with people who are not walking after the discipline of the Lord? Or should you fellowship with them? The Word of God says no. You should not. My brother and sister. And they're not following after the discipline of the Lord. Okay? If they're telling you that everything is fine, my brother and sister, with the nation, that everything is fine with what they're doing, and that instead of kicking these girls that are having an abortion out of the church, you should be helping them. Okay? You should be helping them in the sense that you lead them to Christ and you teach them the way of the Lord. But you don't participate on the work of darkness, the Bible says. You don't say it's okay for you to have that abortion. God would understand, like some pastors and ministry are doing in the churches. And the young ladies in the churches continue to have abortion because they continue to be with the boyfriends and they continue to have babies. And they come to the pastor and the pastor said, God would understand that you cannot raise that baby because you're not ready. And they just keep popping more abortion. And the pastor's telling them, it's okay, just keep your tithing up and we'll pray for you. No. You don't participate in the work of darkness. You tell them you need to repent. You need to stop. If you're not married, you should not be with your boyfriend. Okay? You should be repenting and seeking the Lord. Okay? And asking forgiveness for what you've done and don't do it again. As Jesus told to the woman who they brought to him to see how he would judge her. Because she was caught in the act of adultery, my brother and sister. And Jesus, hallelujah, after he said to them that anyone who had no sin through, cast the first stone, and they all had sinned, so they all walked away. And Jesus had mercy on the woman, but he made sure to tell her, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. How do you sin no more? There's only one way you can stop sinning. And the only one in the Bible that can help us to stop sinning is Jesus. Having a personal relationship with Jesus. Being on daily repenting with him, asking him to help us stop sinning. Jesus is the only one who has the power over death. My brother and sister, over this body, he crucified. He's the only one who has the power over this flesh to stop this body from sinning. Because when you receive the Lord as your Lord and Savior, at the same time that you have received him, the apostle Paul said that you were crucified with him. That means he has the power now over your body as you have received him as your Lord and Savior. And now if you ask him to help you to stop sinning, that you don't go and commit adultery anymore, that you don't go and do prostitution anymore. I had a young lady that was listening to the Lord's Hour. As young men the same. Prostitute. What do I do now, Brother Elvie? Now, commit to the Lord your life, be repenting daily, and don't do that again that you were doing, and get ready to find a job, a decent job, anywhere. She said, Brother, but I had no experience. She's been in years in prostitution. A young lady, my brother insisted, I had no other experience. This is what I done. Hallelujah. Because after high school, they think, well, she didn't went to college. She had no experience, no career, nothing. You'll be able to find a job even cleaning anywhere. The fact of the matter is that now you are in a new life. You gave your life to Jesus. Now you got to commit your life to him and be repenting. Continue to listen, I said to her. Same to a young man who was in the same, doing the same. My brother and sister. What do I do now, Brother Elvie? Repent and seek the Lord. Commit your life to him. Don't do what you were doing. Stop. And now get ready to find a decent job and work now. Now, but this is what you should do. And commit your life to the Lord. Be on the Word of God. Read the Word of God every day. Hallelujah. Take days to fast during the week. And go to work. Praise the Lord. Go to work. Hallelujah. Stay away from that wicked life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, this young man, after weeks were going by, he had changed his life and he was doing better now. He says, thank you, Brother Elvie. Thank you. How he was spending his time in the Bible, in the Word. And he began to see things that he never saw before. My brother insisted, fast and pray. commit your life to the Lord daily. Be in daily repenting. When you are in a daily commitment with the Lord and daily repenting, hallelujah, you don't have the space in your mind and your brain to be thinking of the things you were doing before. If you occupy your mind, if you occupy your life, if you occupy your whole life into the Lord now, you commit your life to him now in the word and fasting and praying. Hallelujah. You don't have time now to go doing the sinful things you were doing before. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. If you still have time to go do the things you were doing before, it's because you're not committed. You're not committed to the Lord. Because if you are committed, you don't have time to do what you were doing. All the wickedness, all the evil that you were doing before, my brother and sister, witches contacting me, how they have come across the Lord's hour, and they something was broken in their life, and now, my brother and sister, hallelujah, they're listening, they're repenting, and they're seeking the Lord. What do I do now, Brother Elvie, if they message me? Continue to commit your life to the Lord. Hallelujah. Because what they were doing before was wicked and was evil. Like any other sin is wicked and evil. And you dedicated your life to that. Now as you give your life to the Lord, commit your life now to this, to Jesus, to his way. Learn his ways. Learn of him who is humble and meek. And you have peace. You'll find peace for your soul. You have to commit your life to him completely. Praise you, Lord. Christianity is not what we learned years ago. Oh, you just go to church on Sunday. The rest of the week, you do whatever you feel like it. That was the Christianity that many of us learned years ago. That's not the Christianity, the true Christianity of Jesus Christ, my brother and sister. That's not the true Christianity of Jesus Christ. The true Christianity of Jesus Christ is being like the apostle, like the disciple, and the rest of them that came to the Lord in a daily relationship with him. Repenting every day, committing our life like you see in the book of Acts, that those that believe, that those that were with the apostle, my brother and sister, were in prayer, were constant in prayer, was constant in committing their life to the Lord in the word. My brothers sharing the bread with one another, helping one another. Their life was committed to the Lord every single day. They don't have time to do what they used to do before because now they are committed to the Lord Jesus, to God. And this is the way he wants us to be. No other way, but completely committed to him. My brother, my sister. Thank you, Lord. 2 Thessalonians 3:7, you know that you must do to imitate us. We live in a disciplined life among you. Thank you, Lord. I can feel like an earthquake going on here right now. Like the earth is shaking right now here in North Carolina. My brother and sister, I can feel the movement in the house. Thank you, Lord. I am telling you, hallelujah, things are getting closer. The disciples said they lived a disciplined life. Discipline, committed life to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And they asked us, as they were in the Word daily, fasting and prayer, dedicated completely to the Lord, meditating on his Word, my brother and my sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. They told the other disciple, imitate us. Imitate us. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. We hear that some of you are not living a disciplined life, says Paul to them. You are not working, so you are wrong, interfering with other people's life. See what Paul is saying here? If you have time to be in other people's life, interfering in other people's life, then you are not committed to the Lord as you should. If you have time to go do other things that are not pleasing to the Lord, then you are not committed. That's a sign you are not, my brother and sister. He wants us to be committed. I just felt another shaking again. My brother and sister, the earth is shaking. The earth is shaking like a drunken. My brother and sister up here. Hallelujah. Those are signs of the big ones to come. My brother and sister, I only feel that maybe once a month, but now the shakening, praise the Lord, is bigger. It's bigger, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise to God. Hebrews 12:5, you have forgotten the encouraging word that God speaks to us as his children. My child, pay attention when the Lord disciplines you. Don't give up when he corrects you. A lot of people, when they begin to go into the discipline of the Lord, they walk away because they're not being taught, directed or guided that the discipline of the Lord is what is best to us for our lives. The discipline of Jesus, discipline of Father, our Father who's in heaven. Hallowed be his name. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the best thing that can happen to you and I. His discipline. And let me tell you, it can feel difficult many times. But I noticed that when we complain about the Lord's discipline, it's because we are struggling to commit. When we are commit, his discipline is sweet. But when we refuse to commit, then it's difficult. My brother and sister, it feels difficult. And it hurts because you're struggling. He's leading you right and you want to go left because you think that going left is okay. Listen to this. You think that going left is right, and going right, his right, is right, not your right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's right. What left? And he's leading us right. And we, as a seraphim says to me in heaven, to follow his leading, follow his ways, because he's leading us straight. His way, right. And we are wrestling, thinking that our right is right, or our left is right. And he's leading us right, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just felt you shaking in here, and I'm like, wow, okay. We're talking about earthquakes, and then earthquake comes. Is that a confirmation? What is that? Praise the Lord. The earth is shaking like a drunken, my brother and sister. Hebrews 12 says the Lord disciplines everyone he loves. He severely disciplines everyone he accepts as a child. It uses the word severely disciplined. Think about that. He severely disciplines those he accepts as a child. Hallelujah. Someone say, what, is he trying to kill me? No, he's trying to remove from you what is not of him. And it feels like you, wow, what is it? God is fighting me? No, you're fighting God. He's leading you his ways. And when it feels so hard, it's that you're fighting him. You're wrestling him, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Praise your God. So just commit your way to him and watch he'll lead you his way, my brother and sister. Here's more confirmation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hello, welcome to Eagle Eye Opener Global Outreach. I am Brother Hosanna David. In this video, I want to talk about the preparation of the Antichrist so far. How far has preparation gone for the revelation of the Antichrist? The revelation of the Antichrist is not going to be like a volcanic eruption. The systems of this world had to be prepared. So we are in the process of transition. Everything has to be prepared for his revelation so that his disclosure, his appearance and introduction to the world will not be something that will be a shock. Foundations had to be laid. And this is exactly what the Lord revealed to me. How far about the preparation of the systems that the Antichrist is going to operate on has gone. This message was given to me on the 10th of September 2022. In case you have not watched the previous video, please do well to watch it because I actually wanted to share this video this revelation I got on the 10th of September, then when I was looking at where I wrote some of the revelations, and now remember that, oh, I haven't actually shared this one, which was from July this year. I said, no, let me share that one first, because it is good. It will give people better understanding if they listen to that one before this one. So please do well to listen to that one. These revelations are posted on Eagle Eye Opener website, so you can still read these things in black and white. If you have not subscribed, please do well to subscribe. And those of you who are sharing our videos, really appreciate it. Continue to share our videos, like and comment. And also, if you have not given your life to Christ, we want to use this opportunity to call you to salvation. Please do well to give your life to Christ. And if you are saved, but you are having one area or the other you need to work on, please continue to work at your salvation with fear and trembling. If you want to receive salvation and there's nobody to lead you to God, look at the screen. You will see my contact details. And if you want to also partake in fellowship, hearing the word of God, Bible study, do well to subscribe to our ministry channel, The Narrow Way Christ for All Nations. It will help you to grow. The link to the channel is in the description box. In a vision, I saw an excavator digging through a muddy ground. The Holy Spirit said to me, where we are now is a time preparation is being made for the reign of the Antichrist. This excavator is preparing his way. I am revealing this to you because I want you to tell my people to get ready. There is no more time. An excavator is, for those of you who don't know it, is a machine. An excavator is a heavy-duty tractor, like machine, like a bulldozer that can excavate things, remove trees and remove rocks and level a place that is hilly or that is not flat. It makes it flat. Again, I was shown the snout of a pig in a muddy place. The Holy Spirit said to me, the snout is the mouth of the pig. I saw just the mouth, the snout of the pig. The Holy Spirit said to me, this is the spirit that has come to prepare the way of the one that opposes all that is called good. Step up your understanding and understand what you have seen. It shall come with light, but not for humans to see. But he shall, like a pig that digs up worms, introduce many demonic spirits into the realm mankind dwells. He shall direct them, that means direct the demonic spirits, to their different places of assignments with his light. He shall work with the spirit of sexual immorality. He shall enter into many, that means with the help of the spirit of sexual immorality, and mold their hearts to accept the man of iniquity. He, the Holy Spirit was referring to the excavator as he is already here. He is at work already in the children of disobedience. Let me take a little time to explain. The systems of this world are actually evolving over the years. In the last video, I made some explanations. Things are evolving from having names to having your names written down in the government register, birth certificate, and then the invention of computers. You have these names in the computer, and then we have social security numbers, we have ID cards, we have international passports with our names, we have our thumbs. I believe majority of the world today have their thumbs, their thumbprints registered in global systems. So when we use our phones, and we have these that we use, this one is for is to open the phone. This is a thumbprint, a thumb button. This system actually collects it and registers it. The color of our eye, the threading of our eyes are registered. Sometimes they say use your face ID. Facebook recognizes your face. Yes, you can turn it on, you can turn it off. But whether you turn it off or not, it's already registered in their systems. So when you use your face ID to open your phone, Google receives these things. That is what Yuval Noah Harari was saying, that we are being monitored by outside systems. But now, during the pandemic, during COVID-19, we all agreed, me I never agreed, I have not taken it, yes. We all agreed, I'm not saying everybody that took it, actually received, everybody that took this thing actually received the mark of the beast. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that he said, although there are some things inside, yes, in some of those bottles, there are some things that can connect you to the internet. I don't want to say much because I don't want to get into trouble. But you can go to Rumble and do some research over there. There are some things he is saying that we need to have a monitoring system which is already working under our skin to know our feelings. So we have evolved from monitoring what we buy, the kind of videos we watch, the things we search, the kind of messages we search. Even on WhatsApp, we are being monitored. I was chatting with someone about Fitch without actually searching it on Google or in search engine. And then the next thing, I went online, I saw adverts on Fitch. We are being monitored. Even when we talk on the phone, we are being monitored. If you say some things, the machines have been programmed to listen to you. By the time you make use of some strong words, the machine will alert the people monitoring them. And this is what the Antichrist is actually going to use. Every single human being will be monitored all the time, and at the same time, it is possible. In fact, I make mention of a revelation that I had. I saw a tower. It was like a 5G tower, but I did not know which of the generations it belonged to. But what came into my mind was Internet of Bodies. I was told, the Holy Spirit told me in that vision, it was very brief, the Holy Spirit told me that this will soon be the problem of man. Yes, it will soon be the problem of humanity. We all will be monitored. But I pray that our flight should come before it gets worse. So in this revelation, I was told that preparation is already being made. The excavator that was referred to as he is already preparing the way, awaiting for the Antichrist. And the spirit of delusion has been sent over the nation. The big spirit I saw is likened to a pig that is digging up worms. You know, worms are things that are not so good for the eyes. Represents evil spirits, unclean things. That this spirit is digging up, the pig is digging up worms. And these demons will be introduced into the realm mankind dwells. There are planetary bodies where demons inhabit a lot. It's not just this earth. It's not just this earth that demons stay. There are other realms where demons inhabit. In this end time, there are more demons being released into the world, this realm where humans dwell. I got a revelation about the pollution of humanity. It was mainly about sex. So I posted it on biblicalsexualpurity.com because I know a lot of people get offended when they hear deep things about sex and about human sexuality. They get easily offended. So I separated the revelations that has to do with human sexuality from general revelations. So some of those things are actually posted on biblicalsexualpurity.com for that same reason. Demons are being allowed into the world. And the Lord has made me to understand through previous revelations that one of the highest ways to actually pollute humanity is through sex, sexual immorality. So these demons will be directed, these demonic spirits will be directed to the areas of their assignments with the light I saw, and that they will enter into many human beings. They are going to succeed a lot because they will use sexual immorality to possess people. It's going to be the main system to gain access into many human beings. That is why they are going to succeed a lot, because majority of humans, even among those who say they are Christians, are living in one form of sexual immorality or the other, and the church is sleeping. Only few people are awake. May God help us. Let us remember what the Bible actually says about the end time, which will be characterized by a strong delusion and a falling away that will come before the appearance of the man of sin. Look at these scriptures. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." That means people's minds will be prepared first. There will be a strong deception, a strong delusion. And this is what the Lord is revealing, that the excavator is out to prepare the way, put in place different kind of systems that can welcome the Antichrist without people receiving a sharp shock. And also the pink digging up worms, releasing evil spirits into the world so that men can be deceived the more. When you see people arguing about some things, for instance, me with birds, with muscles, like this as a man, and with my male organ, without having wombs, if you see someone like me arguing that they shouldn't be addressed as he or him, or as a male, as a man, you should know that they have been deceived. That is the truth. But deception doesn't just come. Somebody's mind needs to be altered, either through drugs, through demons, through brainwashing. Something must happen first. Before the Antichrist will be revealed, there will be a strong delusion first. People must be deceived first. And this is exactly what these demons are going to do. These demons will deceive humanity and cause them to turn their back against God. This demonic spirit will help earth man to believe a lie. Many people are already getting possessed with different kind of demonic spirits, of which the modern church is almost silent about the high level of spiritual possession by demonic spirits. Even among those who call themselves Christians, there is a message the Lord gave to me on Sunday. Every Sunday, I either do Bible study or preach a message and put on our channel, ministry channel, The Narrow Way is Christ for All Nations. So on Sunday, I was to preach. But like what happened 3 weeks ago, the same thing happened. The Lord told me that he has a message to give to his people. And he gave me a message about witchcraft. A very strong message. In fact, he told me that people are going to fight me, and he asked me, can I speak through you? This is an implication. Do you agree? I said, yes, speak through me. The world is coming to an end. A lot of Christians are possessed with demonic spirits, and they don't care, because the power of the prince of the darkness of this world, the prince of the air, has blinded the understanding of their minds so that they could see and not understand and hear without understanding, so that they could be destroyed at the end. I have pleaded with a lot of people in church, please repent of your witchcraft, repent of these evil spirits, repent of these marine kingdoms. But they will never agree. Only a few people even agree that they are possessed. Majority of those who say they are Christians who have demonic spirits don't agree. They have their own covenants. They respect those covenants more than the fear of the Lord. That message the Lord gave to me is deep, is heavy, and I know it's going to change souls. But he told me they are going to fight me. But this is the end time. Everybody is going to die. I know Christians who speak the truth this end time will definitely face persecution. I know the implication of what I'm doing. But this world is not our home. We have a place in heaven. Christians don't die. They only sleep in the Lord. They cross over to the other side of eternity where everything is beautiful. This is the truth. Soldiers are not supposed to be afraid of death. But it is God who wants the final say. It is God who was the key of life and death, who can say, you, it's your time to go. You, it's not your time. That is left for God to choose who lives this world and who doesn't live. But the final truth is that I'm not afraid to live at any time. There's nothing like dying young in my dictionary. I don't have that in my mentality. Christians don't die. We only cross over to the other side. Our main focus should be, where are we going to? Are we going to rest in the bosom of Abraham? Or are we going to the place of eternal torment in hellfire? This should be our concern, and not actually when we leave this place called world. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Then finally, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. This is exactly what the devil is doing right now, using men and women who are his slaves, deceiving people, and he is releasing demons into the world so that men can be possessed and have their eyes and their understanding blinded by lies, so that when the Antichrist will be revealed, men would accept him Remember that in Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, the Bible says that when Jesus Christ will come, every eye will see him, and all kingdoms of the earth shall wail because of him. Everybody. Why would they wail? Because they will be deceived. The Bible says that both young and old, everybody will be deceived. They are going to follow the Antichrist, except just a few. Then in another vision, I saw a very dark engine oil that was poured on the ground from an engine. After using an engine for a very long time, for instance, a generator, the oil inside becomes very, very dark. This is exactly what I saw. It was poured from an engine. It was very dirty and dark. Then the Holy Spirit said to me, "This is how useless many humans have become in my sight. They have been held bound by the spirit that leads men into the way of all deceivableness. I speak that men may repent and be saved. Look," he said to me. Then I looked and I saw lowered clouds, white clouds that were very low to the ground. He said, "Look," when the Holy Spirit said that, I looked and I saw it was like the clouds were very, very, they came down. They were very, very low, very close to the ground. And the clouds were all white. This is the message the Lord gave to me after I saw the clouds. "Behold, my mercy has been released in abundance for as many that are ready to be purified." The clouds you see represent God's mercy. He has determined to save as many that repent. Remember what the Bible says. When sin increases, grace also increases. So even as the devil is stepping up his antics and his strategies to lead men astray, grace abounds even the more. Then the Holy Spirit said to me, "Now listen, the nations that oppress other nations shall be crushed by the power that is at work. They are the leaders, that means leaders of the world. Therefore, they are facing the heat of the one that is preparing everything he can for the revelation of their king." Let me explain this. There is a crackdown of power among strong nations in the world today. In the revelation God gave to me about the rise of Adolf Hitler and the subsequent one that actually explained how power is moving from the hands of some nations and it's moving to the hands of a few globalists. In that revelation, I understood very clearly that transition is taking place. The nations of the world that are very, very strong, like America, is being crushed. Their power is being taken away. And it's not going to the government of another country in form of either colonization or new colonization. No, not like that. But it's going to the hand of a few people, into the hands of corporations. That is the truth. So the strong nations are being hindered, are being crushed to weaken them. Because for the devil to take over the world, he must take over these nations first. If I can quote, okay, let me not quote, I may make a mistake. I'm going to put a video of the message the Lord gave to me in the year 2020. Just watch it.
I want to share with us a vision that I had when I was praying with a Christian sister on the phone. It brought a lot of sorrow to my heart that I was almost shedding tears because the vision was so, it came with a lot of emotions and a lot of concern. So I want us to take it very, very seriously, especially those of us who are Christians. It is a message to mostly American Christians, but it is a message to every single human being on the face of the earth. Because even though it is addressed to America primarily, It concerns America, it concerns the world, it concerns Nigerians. So please share this message immediately you get this message. Let people wake up. As I was praying, my attention was diverted by the Lord to this vision. And I paused and I was watching. I saw someone who stretched his hand to give Hitler's salute. And I saw someone, I do recognize the person. My attention was on the Hitler salute. So I was watching and the voice of the Lord was saying that Hitler is about rising in America. Hitler is about rising in America. And that as America is to the world, so is Africa, so is Nigeria to Africa. As America is to the world, so is Nigeria to Africa. That Satan is planning to capture America so that he can capture the world. That America is in the position of world power. And that if Satan must capture the world easily, he has to capture America first. And that is the same strategy he is applying in capturing Nigeria. America is a target right now. And I know election is coming up a few months from now. And Satan is trying to project his people.
So for the devil to capture the world, he must capture the strong nations first. Remember what we're talking about. This is a time of transitioning. Power is transiting from the countries of the world, the strong nations of the world, into the hands of a few globalists. And this is what Yuval Noah Harari is saying, that those who own the data are going to control the future of humanity, and that humanity is going to split into different species. This is what he's saying.
We are probably one of the last generation of Homo sapiens. Within a century or two, Earth will be dominated by entities that are more different from us. Now, how exactly will the future masters of the planet look like? This will be decided by the people who own the data. Those who control the data control the future not just of humanity, but the future of life itself. If too much of the data becomes concentrated in too few hands, humanity will split not into classes, it will split into different species.
I am happy that the Lord is revealing these things so that we can have a better understanding of the times that we are living in. And also the unfolding, so that we can understand the unfolding of biblical prophecies. Let's continue with the revelation. Dark clouds have gathered round the strong nations of the world to hold them in captivity. Look, those who are wise understand the times. It is the season of transition from the reign of men to the one that shall be revealed. Africa shall be safe for a time until she shall be faced by the one that weakens the nations. According to the revelation God gave me 2020 about the capture of America, Hitler rising, and the capture of Nigeria so that they can capture the whole of Africa. Do you have the right in all the states as we have in Africa? The high level of medical freedom we have in Africa here, do you have it over there? Even your doctors are crying that they have no right to treat. They cried out, and they are silent. This is it. In the revelation God gave to me about the explanation of total takeover of America and the world, he explained that those who are supposed to die actually died. Look at how advanced medicine has become in the U.S. They have all it takes to save humans from dying. If anybody is dying in America under normal circumstances, it should be God, whom God has agreed that this person must die. Because they have all it takes to save life. But look at the number of people that died over there. Compare that percentage to the whole of people that died in Africa. This is a crushing of the nations. The nations are being crushed. Look at Canada. Look at Australia. Look at Germany. People having no medical freedom. This is end time. Please wake up. These things are happening before our very eyes. But some of us are still watching, listening to CNN. And being brainwashed. We don't go beyond YouTube and Facebook and CNN and BBC. Because we don't want to hear the bitter truth. The truth is being suppressed. Look at the level of censorship that we faced. Thank God that some of the things that we are being censored today are not being censored again. Let me tell you one big revelation the Lord gave to me. That people are going to die. I couldn't do a video. I just posted it on my website. That people are going to die. I mean, people are going to die in their numbers. Maybe I will do a short video and censor it myself. People are going to die. The Lord told me that there is going to be the outbreak of autoimmune diseases. That was some months ago. I just quietly posted it on my website and I left it there. Because if I do a video and say, I don't know how to even present that message. Because YouTube may decide to take it down. A lot of things are happening. Are people not dying? People are dying. Who knows? Who knows why they are dying? Do you know why they are dying? I know. Because the depopulation process has actually started. Oh, in the name of global warming. They are sharing free condoms to people. They are letting our children to have sex when they don't supposed to have sex. They are deceiving our children. Who are boys to claim that they are girls? And those who are girls to claim that they are boys? Destroying the whole nation? Destroying the whole of humanity? So that if people can't marry according to nature, the population will become distorted. They have an aim. And the aim of these people is actually to reduce the population of the world. But we don't have more than 120 years and we will leave. But they are not concerned about that one. They don't know that they will leave. But you know what's strong and powerful thing about these people? Even when they know that they are going to die, look at Klaus Schwab. At his age, he is still pushing the globalist agenda. At his age, he knows that some of the things he is pushing are not going to come to pass in his lifetime. But that is none of his business. He knows there are people who are going to take over from him, just as the Illuminati do. They know they could have plans for the next 300 years. And every one of them, we align with these plans and begin to pursue these plans. They know it is not going to come to pass in their time, but they don't give up. They pass the baton to another person who runs with the evil dream of enslaving humanity. Because they are being led by the same spirit, the spirit of the Antichrist. We have to be careful. Christians, be wise and know the times that we are living in. Please wake up your understanding and be serious in the master's business. This battle actually started in heaven before this Adamic world was created. It started. And we were conscripted into this world without our consultation. According to God's own wisdom and will, we were brought into this world. There was a war in heaven, and the war is still here on earth. Now, it is between humanity and Satan himself. He attacked Adam and Eve. And up till now, he is still attacking the seeds of Adam and Eve. Please wake up. Because he doesn't want to go to the place of torment alone. So he wants to recruit as many as possible. He and his fallen angels. And the spirits of the dead giants. They want to destroy the whole of humanity. And people are working with them. Let us be wise. Back to the revelation. Concerning the enemy's plans to use food to enslave mankind. This is what the Lord told me. I know there are some revelations God has given to me about how Satan wants to use food to enslave humanity, especially GMO. In fact, the video I posted about 5 days ago, maybe 4 days ago, is about food. How Satan wants to cause hunger. And the hunger has already started. I got that message 2020. The hunger has already started. There are other detailed revelations the Lord gave to me. How Satan wants to use food. Let us be wise. Then this is what he said to me about food and the agenda of the globalists. Time is already running out. Let those who want to remain pure consider changing their environment, except they have access to clean food. Those who plan the enslavement of man through food are already hatching their evil plans. Tell my people to resist. Their resistance will not stop the evil people, but it will delay the agenda and also losing the grip of their rule. Please be mindful of what you eat. Make arrangements for your food. In fact, I'm going to try to do a video of how you can do farming anywhere you are, even in the midst of the city, without your government intruding. If you have a garden where you have flowers like this, please, this is not actually the time to care more about beautification than our survival. Create some space, have some drums where you can put some sand. Even you can even grow food now without sand. I'm going to try to do a video about this new technology, and it is good because we need to also survive. Resist the government. If you know they are crushing the citizens, let's come together and resist. Thank you for watching this video. The essence of this video, of these messages from God, is actually to open our eyes. It is for the salvation of our souls, so that we can be watchful, so that we can know the times that we are living in, and align ourselves with God's own plans. In case you have not given your life to Christ, please do well to give your life to Christ, because the days are evil, the days are short. Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. The devil is preparing. Let us also get ourselves ready for the flight. If you are a Christian, get more serious with your Christianity. If you fall, please don't major on the fall. Rise up immediately. Dust yourself. Wash yourself in the blood of the Lamb. And keep moving. Repent immediately and keep moving. Don't remain falling. Keep moving. Haven't I fallen before? I've fallen many times. Is there any Christian who hasn't offended God before? Even the holiest of them have offended God before. In one way or the other, we fall and we rise. If you fall, rise. It's not that this white doesn't get stained. It gets stained. But so long as I keep washing it, it will remain white. The blood of Jesus is there to always wash it clean. If you need assistance in your walk with God, or you want to give your life to Christ, my contact details are on the screen. Feel very free to contact me. Salvation is free. Free of charge. Then please do well to subscribe to this channel, Eagle Eye Opener. If you don't have any fellowship, subscribe to our ministry YouTube channel, a non-denominational evangelical ministry, The Narrow Way is Christ for All Nations, and follow our teachings there. And please, I encourage every one of you to subscribe to that channel. There is these messages that the Lord gave to me, one about 3 weeks ago, another one this past Sunday. It's going to help your life. Thank you and God bless you. Don't forget to share this video. God bless you. Hello, welcome to Eagle Eye Opener Group Outreach. I am Brother Hosanna David. I want to share a message about the intentional creation of energy crisis. It was a dream that I had about a week ago. In the dream, I saw two families quarreling over a small piece of land. It wasn't big. It wasn't as big as this room, according to my understanding of the dream. And there was a small pond with water inside, and the piece of land they were actually quarreling over was in the boundary of two countries. Two countries have a common boundary there, but two families actually own the piece of land. For instance, just the way you have farmlands, and then this family owns this side, this other family on the other side. So it was like that. I saw women quarreling. Then what baffled me in the dream was the government of both countries got involved in this small dispute, and they escalated the whole issue to international quarrel between the two countries. And I was wondering why they should do so, because I actually expected them in the dream to mediate between both families, first of all look at the boundaries and separate them and make peace. But they didn't make any move of peace. They escalated your issue and created energy crisis. And I was saying in the dream, instead of these two governments of both countries to settle this issue, they are now using it to create energy crisis. So I was complaining that why must they capitalize on this small issue over a small piece of land to create energy crisis that will affect other countries. In the dream, I wasn't thinking about Russia and Ukraine. I didn't mention them. Nobody mentioned them in the dream. But when I woke up, I knew it is what is happening in Ukraine. This issue would have been settled. In fact, this war was provoked. It was provoked. Somebody provoked a country, one country, provoked Russia to invade Ukraine. Russia is not right for invading Ukraine and even killing some of its innocent citizens. But there is a big achievement by the globalists. Because each time they cause any crisis, they capitalize on it to grab some powers to themselves. There are people planning to take over the world. They need to create confusion, either through in the medical field, in governments, causing instability in countries to fight wars, create energy crises, capitalize on global warming in order to push their agenda further. Please pray for the world. And when you see some of these things happening, don't just take sides. Ask yourself, why are they escalating an issue that can be settled amicably between parties involved? Ask yourself that question. This is the end time, and the devil is doing everything possible using his agents, the globalists, the Illuminati, to push his agenda. Please pray for our world. And also know that the days we are living in are very, very terrible. These are some of the darkest days of the history of this world. Thank you for watching this video. I feel it is important to share this with you because it is a significant dream. Let us be watchful. Let us know that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Let us not sleep. The war is ongoing. There is a transition going on. Transition of power from governments of different strong countries to few corporations and few globalists. Let us know this and resist to the very best of our ability. Don't forget to subscribe to Eagle Eye Puna.
We will, without question, use all the means at our disposal to protect Russia.
Russia has declared res judicata regarding the use of nuclear weapons. And that is, in international law, the language that basically means the case for the use of, the justifiable use of nuclear weapons has already been decided.
Just know also that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Greetings in the most perfect, exalted, powerful, glorious name, both in heaven and in earth, the name by which all knees shall bow. It is the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And welcome to another End Times for the Believers Bible Prophecy Update. Most of you have noticed by now that during the past 2+ years, it would seem like the very floodgates of hell have opened wide, and the issues that are fomenting from that place we call hell, they are diabolical, they are wicked, they are evil, and they are becoming more intense with frequency, and it does not seem like it's going to end. Some of the things that we are reading about and that are coming up in terms of reports, they're almost unimaginable. And if it were not for the facts that support some of the allegations regarding events that are taking place in the world today, we would be hard-pressed to even begin to entertain, let alone believe them. But the facts, they are the facts. And they continue to emerge. And they're not going away. As a matter of fact, they are becoming more frequent and more intense, like women in having labor pains. If Jesus intends to keep his promise to the church, the bride, in coming to rescue his beloved, the church must be removed, I believe, almost immediately. Would you join with me for a moment in heartfelt prayer? Heavenly Father, you are seated upon your throne of glory. You are exalted above the highest heights, and your Son at the very right hand of your excellent throne, so that our hearts, they bow down before you at this very moment. O God, we sense our most intense need for your grace. We pray that you would quicken your word to our hearts, that you would give us understanding, that you would enable us to more fully comprehend the very scope, the extent, the breadth of your love toward us, which is in Christ your Son. And so, Lord, anoint me now. Anoint my lips that I might speak the truth, and that the words that I speak might come from your heart, and that they might accomplish that which you intend, to comfort, to encourage, to build up, to strengthen. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. I begin today's update by reading from the fifth chapter of Revelation, beginning in verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And so we see in this text all the eyes of heaven. They are upon this scroll. And John, the apostle of love, in recognizing the amazing implications of that scroll and the apparent unavailability of someone to open that scroll, he wept. As a matter of fact, it says that he wept much. Now, I find that an interesting statement there, that John wept much. The fact of the matter, that which was contained in that scroll was 21 substantial fiery judgments, the very outpouring of the wrath of God. And so what was it that John, in seeing that scroll and not being able to be open, what did he recognize in that caused him to have an outburst of weeping? Now, I suppose that if we were to seek to answer that question fully, we would not be able to do so in one or two or several broadcasts. But may I suggest a very simple answer as to why the apostle wept much. And it can be observed in one of the most beautiful chapters in God's book, the Bible. It is in the 21st chapter. And I'm going to read beginning in verse 1, again, with hopes of having an understanding what it was that caused John possibly to weep much. It goes on, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words, are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." John saw, wrapped in that scroll, eternity. He saw there the very destiny of mankind, of his brethren, of humanity. And more importantly, he saw the one who was seated upon the throne of glory in that very eternity, proclaiming himself to be the Alpha and the Omega. John had a vision of the very plan of God, and he saw in that very scroll the very purposes of God that were essential to unfold before this vision were able to come to pass, when God would wipe away all tears, where there would be no more crying, no more suffering, no more pain. Some of you are suffering at this time in your life, some perhaps intensely. Some maybe you are even bereaving the loss of a loved one, and it's hard for you to imagine that things will ever be the same. It's hard to imagine that life will have any more meaning, anything that would cause you to even want to live. Some are going through that kind of pain and sorrow today. But John sees in that scroll a time when all suffering, when all tears, when all heartache, when all goodbyes, when all privations, when all the maladies that we experience in this world would become a thing of the past. But first, that scroll had to be unsealed. And the only one that could unseal that scroll, verse 5, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." You see, we have just come from a very high alert period of time. Pentecost was, in my estimation, the highest alert for Pentecost for the rapture, in light of all the prophetic signs converging. But Pentecost has come, and it is now behind us, and we are still here. And we see recently the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, it too representing one of the highest alerts for the rapture of the church to unfold. And yet, it is behind us now, and we are still here. You see, we are not given enough prophetic information to ascertain or to determine the day or the hour when that most coveted event takes place, that moment where the Bible tells us that our hearts are yearning and crying and uttering before God desire that cannot be proclaimed with words. But what we know for a certain is this. John chapter 14, it must take place. John 14, let not your heart be troubled, the scripture tells us. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, so that once I do, I will come back and receive you so that you might be with me. And so what we know with absolute certainty is that the very promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will return for his bride, is a promise that we can take to the bank, if you will. Today, we see the very cataclysmic events that are listed in that scroll. They're happening before our very own eyes, and they are intense. And we are seeing things on the horizon that move us even to the point, if we're not careful, fear. Some are now even crippled with fear because they see that which is underway can no longer be reversed. John saw that in that scroll there was the ultimate resurrection, resolution, provision of God for all the maladies of mankind. He saw that there was coming a time when man's unprecedented pain and sorrow would be removed, that he saw somehow innately through the spirit of revelation that there was of necessity a journey that man must embark upon through the night, through the journey of life. Jesus described it as, in the world you will have tribulation. And for us in this generation, it is even qualified to the point to where the apostle says that in the last days, perilous times shall come, violent times shall come. And so for John, he recognized that what must take place before the tears are wiped away are in that scroll. I'm reading from a commentator who comments on this very passage where it states that John wept much. This is what he says. The apostle is not ashamed to call attention to his tears. Indeed, for my part, the I is emphatic. He wept much. It was not a failure of faith. It was the outburst of an earnest heart to which the knowledge of God and the destinies of his fellow man were very dear. Those who have longed to see the end of oppression, fraud, and sorrow on the earth, to know something of the laws which govern the present and of their issue in the future, will understand these tears. The words, "I wept much," can only be understood by those who have lived in great catastrophes of the church and entered with the fullest sympathy into their sufferings. He was in sympathy with the sufferings of his fellow man. John saw eternity, and he knew that eternity was at the end of those seals and bowls and trumpet judgments. Each and every week now for over 2 years, we have over 100 weeks for certain, 104, 110. We've missed perhaps two. We have almost inevitably shared prophecies that in themselves, they are dark and gloomy. And some of you have even noted and commented regarding that. But it isn't that we take any joy whatsoever in underscoring the very blood-shedding and the anguishing of humanity, the starvation and the suffering, but that these things must first come to pass before the end comes and eternity begins. And so, in one sense, it is ironic that though we have been outlining the cataclysmic events that are happening before our eyes, yet there is this sense of intense anticipation and joy because we know that joy comes in the morning. We recognize that the book, the Bible, tells us not just through the reading and the unsealing of these scrolls, but in the many different prophets, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, in Ezekiel, in Joel, in Daniel, and others, that tell us of a time whereby man would endure hardship and heartache, and that the very end would be characterized by that very thing. But we also see today, because of these prophetic passages that have told us these events would take place, that the journey would be marked by hardship, and as Job put it, as the sparks fly upward, so man is born unto trouble. But we have this innate sense of vision. Perhaps the preacher that this generation is most familiar with, one of the great sermons of all times, it was that sermon given by Martin Luther King when he said, "I have a dream." And so we, too, we have a dream. We have a vision. A vision that was characterized as a mystery in the Old Testament. It was unknown in its specifics, and there were glimpses of that which was to come to pass in the future. But we now see the unfolding, the revelation of the mystery that was shrouded in the Old Testament by clues. And now, as the Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The Apostle Paul states there that the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory," that is recorded in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8. Again, it was a mystery then. They saw only in part. Isaiah declared in verse 8 of chapter 25, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces." But today, it is no longer a mystery. It is a sound doctrine, which we refer to as the rapture, the harpazo, or the resurrection of the bride of Christ. So that the mystery that is now revealed to us must happen at that time that we see being itemized and listed and revealed in that very scroll. But what we need to understand is this. We will not be here ultimately when the scroll, the literal fruition and manifestation of those things that are written on the scroll, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And so we read in Revelation chapter 5, verses 4, 5, and 5 once again, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And thus the end of his tears." Revelation chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, we read the first revealings of those items that are listed in that scroll. Verse 1, "And I saw when the Lamb had opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." What we see here in the opening of the first seal is the emergence of the false Messiah. Here is the Antichrist. He is going about consolidating his resources. He's gathering together a consortium of power brokers. We have noted the oligarchs of today very much are the likely candidates of those that he will be gathering as he goes about riding upon that white horse to bring about what seems to be peace, but a false peace. John told us that, in fact, the Apostle Paul told us that that very man who is riding on that white horse, that person is referred to as the man of sin. No wonder John wept, realizing that these things must first take place. And then what does the Apostle Paul tell us regarding this man of sin? He says this, verse 6 of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, there we read, "And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." Who? That person who is riding that white horse. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until," that's a big word, until, the time frame there, "he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed." Now, if we are seeing the foreshadows of the apocalyptic riders of the horse, then how much closer are we to the rapture? You know, there's been a lot of speculation as to who this person is or shall be. One of the scenarios that is gaining traction is that he may very well be presented as an alien being, perhaps a Nephilim. Not to state that he is a Nephilim, but the Bible tells us in the last days it shall be as the days of Noah. And there were giants in the land, and there are some who are speculating that this Antichrist, in order for him to gain the following of the entire world, must have something about him that is so magic, so dynamic, that all the eyes of the world are not only upon him, but are willing to follow him. This suggests to me that this is not any normal man. This is the satanic man, the Antichrist. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And so once again, John wept much because he knew that the very destiny of man was wrapped up in those scrolls. And one of the first items on the agenda of those scrolls, of that scroll, was the man or the rider upon the white horse. And then we go on in verse 3. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." To take peace, "and there was given unto him a great sword, an instrument of destruction." I just wonder, could that great sword be the very engineered pandemic that we are experiencing and have been experiencing for some time? Perhaps a new level, one that will not have such a small ratio of mortality, one that will indeed have havoc upon the world. Will that be the great sword that will steal peace from the earth and will bring destruction upon humanity, man killing man? That's what it says. It says, "and that taking peace, and that they should kill one another." How are they going to go about killing one another? Well, the handwriting is becoming more and more noticeable, and it's almost unimaginable that man can perpetrate such atrocity upon his fellow man. But it's been happening for some time. But in these last days, it is being magnified in a big, big way. Perhaps not just the tragedy of an engineered pandemic, but maybe a combination of some other engineered by humans maladies, if you will, such as the deindustrialization, ultimately, of the world. We are seeing right now that things are happening and are anticipated to happen in Europe that is pretty much going to bring their industry to a halt. Recently, we have been told about the sabotage of Nord Stream 1 and 2, the gas pipelines in the Baltics that enabled Russia to send gas to Germany and other parts of Europe, that it has been destroyed. Some have even gone as far as saying when that took place, that was the kill shot. The seriousness of that event has not been properly understood. And again, having to do with industry, if there is not enough energy for transportation, then there is not enough and for heating, then society, civilization as we know it, the ability to provide for your family, to work and to buy food and shelter and to protect your family and to have some measure of gainful employment, when that's taken away and you are left confined in something that doesn't even have the capacity to protect you and to give you warmth, the deindustrialization first of Europe, and that is clearly happening in our country as well.
I've been saying, watch Nord Stream 1 for potential sabotage. Of course, it happened to Nord Stream 1 and 2, and I would say now, watch Yamal pipeline for Russia just cutting it off or somebody else sabotaging it, and watch the Norwegian flows. There's multiple flows from Norway. All are critical. I think one by one, you're going to start to see these oil pipelines, these natural gas pipelines, undersea cables, and other infrastructure. Everything's now on the menu. And under my paradigm, the globalists are committing, I'm not even going to call it a genocide because it's way bigger than that, a megacide. I mean, the death toll from these famines alone can easily be in the billions, not millions, not hundreds of millions, way over a billion. In fact, at this point, I'm not sure how we're even going to get out of it without going to that level. And Americans who think this cannot happen in the United States are simply not paying attention. You know, Mike, you've talked about it before. It can happen in America.
The wipeout that's coming to Western Europe because of this energy shutdown, you really nailed a critical point there, Michael. And by the way, for our audience, if they haven't ever seen your interviews before, you are an extremely well-read person. You know, you've read dozens of books just on famine and pestilence and pandemics and so on. I want to ask you about that in a second. But what people need to understand is that this is a man-made crisis. Okay, just like you said, Michael, they could turn on other natural gas fields in the Netherlands or even other places across Europe. There's plenty of energy in Europe. But the political class, they want the people to suffer, and they want to destroy the ability for people to feed themselves, to grow food, to heat their homes, to have electricity, to power their cities and so on. And so this is a global war on the infrastructure of civilians across the world.
Again, some have referred to it as the kill shot. There is a company called BASF. It is an operation. It is a company huge in Europe. And it, as a matter of fact, produces some 45,000 chemicals. This company has been in operation since the 1960s, and it never turns off. It has been online functioning, never turning off, 24/7, and yet now, today, in the next few months, they don't have the energy they are going to need to continue, and thus industry is going to come to a halt. We understand that nitrogen-based fertilizer, which is dependent upon this energy, is going to virtually be ended. And we see other areas where food supply is being destroyed in so many different ways. We've talked about that. Many of you have been watching the anomalies, so to speak. I mean, food supply is being attacked upon every angle, including weather, including disasters and buildings and processing plants being blown up. The list is almost endless. The things that are being sprayed in the air and that are going into our soil that is debilitating or keeping our soil from being able to make proper production of healthy food. I mean, it's everywhere, everywhere. And now the Nord Stream pipeline is brought to a halt. The fact of the matter is the infrastructure of civilization is being destroyed before our very own eyes. And it's almost as if we're like the proverbial frog that's in the pan that is being slowly boiled until finally gets cooked because of the gradual subtle increase of temperature. It's like we're almost watching our own demise. We're seeing things that are happening before our eyes that we never thought would ever happen. In our own country, our borders, and our southern borders, there's no borders anymore. People are just flooding in. Word has it that the goal is to bring in 100 million refugees that will totally change this country as what it used to be and what it is in the future. It is on every end we see the destruction of civilization before our very own eyes. So what is it that is going to bring some semblance of order? Well, we know the globalists have a principle. They create chaos, and then they become the solution. They bring order out of chaos. And this is what the Antichrist is stepping into and what he is going to do when he rides that white horse. And then we go on and we see Jesus himself opening the third seal, verse 5. The third horseman, Revelation chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." We are looking there of hyperinflation, to where it's going to be almost impossible to earn enough money to provide just the basic necessities for your family. Transportation is going to come to an end, again, because of a lack of energy. And again, we cannot deny the fact that this has been engineered. It started with the Keystone pipeline, and it's been on and on and on. No more fracking, no more energy independence, and one episode of destruction after the other. One gentleman put it this way: the bullet, it has left the barrel. There is no bringing the bullet back. It is inevitable. And it's just a matter of time right now. Russia is claiming right now to threaten us with nuclear weapons. As a matter of fact, some are even referring to Europe as the Walking Dead because of the deindustrialization and now the threat of nuclear. If you go on and you read in verse 7 of Revelation 5, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. We see in the very near future war. Jesus told us in the Olivet Discourse that in the last days war would ensue. Nation would rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Recently, Russia declared Res Judicata, and that means that is a legal term, and it has to do on nuclear weapons. It states there, Russia states in making that proclamation, that the matter is settled. Russia will defend her homeland with nuclear weapons if necessary. It's legal language, and what it implies is that the case to justify the use of nuclear weapons, it has already been made. And according to Russia, it was made in August of 1945 when the United States detonated two atomic bombs over the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki on the 6th and the 9th of August, 1945. The two bombings killed between 129,000 and 226,000 people, most of whom were civilians and remain the only use of nuclear weapons in armed conflict. And so Russia today is citing that action on the United States as setting the precedent. And so they've declared Res Judicata. The case for use of nuclear weapons has already been made.
Russia has declared Res Judicata regarding the use of nuclear weapons. And that is in international law, the language that basically means the case for the use of the justifiable use of nuclear weapons has already been decided. In fact, that's res judicata. The matter is already, it's not up for debate. The matter was decided years ago when the sky was rolled up like a scroll over Hiroshima, and then again, the sky was rolled up like a scroll over Nagasaki. That is how somebody living in the Bible times would be describing a mushroom cloud. Very unique type of explosion and cloud. Guys, this matter has already been decided. So, and it was the United States that actually used for the first time nuclear weapons in warfare. So as far as Russia is concerned, the matter has already been decided that it's lawful to do that in defense of your country. And Russia right now is concerned about defending their country.
First, Vladimir Putin gave this stark warning on September 21st.
We will, without question, use all the means at our disposal to protect Russia.
Then last Friday, he said this.
The United States are the only country in the world to use nuclear weapons twice. Actually, they set a precedent.
Both Kyiv and NATO say they are taking Russia's hints at the use of nuclear weapons as it pursues war in Ukraine very seriously.
Nuclear war can never be won and must never be fought, and it will have severe consequences for Russia.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved." That is a powerful statement of the apocalyptic condition of the world in the last days, that except those days should be shortened, there would not be one single living person in the world. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And we understand the elect's sake being that of Israel and God keeping his promise with the nation of Israel, and that one third of them shall go through the fire of affliction. And at the end of a 7-year period of time, those days shall be shortened, because the enemy's goal and objective is to destroy the world, to destroy all of flesh, so that there would be no one to come back to. But our Savior tells us those days shall be shortened. These are hard things that we consider, and I realize it, that in many respects, the bullet has left the barrel. But I believe that God has a word for us today. He has many comforting, encouraging words. Because we don't look at these things as if they are the end. They are markers that tell us where we are in the prophetic timeline. And saints, it could happen any moment now. If the Lord does not come soon for the church, there will be no pure flesh left, just by virtue of the transhumanism that is underway and the restructuring of man's DNA. Our Lord has created the circumstances that provide him with a window of time. And I, for one, I'm looking up, but what is the word of the Lord? We don't know exactly how much time remains before we go to be with the Lord. I'm convinced we are about ready to be raptured. I will be very surprised if it doesn't happen this year. I mean that sincerely. I'm not a date setter. You've already heard me qualify that. I believe there are certain signs in the Bible, prophecies that tell us we are close. We are even in the season. And I don't believe when the Lord said the season, he was talking about a period of 10 or 15 or 20 years. That would be very misleading. We are in the season. Jesus said when you see certain things begin to come to pass, it's time to look up. Now we are looking up. If you don't understand the convergence of prophetic signs today, and you're not looking up, you need to really cry out to the Lord for grace and mercy. But I want to share with you in closing a word that I believe is to each and every one of you who may be troubled. Some of you may be listening, be in Europe. And you're so troubled. You are a victim of greedy men who are being inspired by hell itself. As I mentioned at the opening, the very floodgates of hell, they are opening wide. And all kinds of wickedness is coming out. And evil spirits that are controlling governments and spiritual wickedness in high place. And we see them on some of those great programs like CNN and MSNBC and the rest of them. But now I am digressing. In a moment, I'm going to share that word. But first, I want to ask each of you, are you ready? Are you ready if the trumpet of God were to sound this very moment? And the voice of the archangel were to proclaim, and the voice of our Savior sounding as a trumpet saying, come up hither. Will you ascend with the saints, or will you be left behind? If you are going to be left behind, you'll have a slight chance of surviving. But the likelihood is you will die as a result of the cataclysmic events. Hopefully, by the grace of God, you will not succumb to death while taking the mark of the beast. But it does not have to be that way. Today is the acceptable day of salvation. Today, the Bible tells us that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord, that's in this generation, shall be saved. The Bible tells us, and most of you are familiar with it, in John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," that is the lamb that was slain. "He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him," that is, puts their trust in him, "shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That offer is extended to you right now. We don't know if we have tomorrow, but what you do know is you have right now. You never thought that the prophecies that you had heard about perhaps growing up would ever come to pass. You thought they were being postulated by conspiracy theorists, by tin hat candidates. But now you see, there is a one world government that is forming. And all the different prophecies the Bible tells us of events that would take place in the last days, such as pestilence, such as war, such as famine, and all the like, they're happening. And you still haven't made your heart right with the Lord. This is your time. If you're ready, pray this prayer with me. And please, from your heart, mean it. It's not so much the words as it is the posture of your heart, the sincerity of your heart. Repeat these words after me and mean it. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this day in the name of Jesus with a heavy heart, because I know I am not saved. I know that if I were to die right now, chances are I would go to hell, where there is no escape. And so this day, I pray, I open my heart, and I ask you to forgive me, to wipe away all my sins, because I believe in Jesus. I believe that he is Lord. I believe that he died for my sins. And I believe he rose again from the grave according to the prophecies foretold. And so I ask you this day, come into my heart by your Holy Spirit. Live your life in me, Lord, and change me from the inside out. Wash me clean with the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, welcome to the family of God. You may have made the rapture by the very skin of your teeth. It's that close. And now that word, some of you being gripped with fear. This is what Jeremiah tells us in the 17th chapter, beginning in verse 7. And I believe it is a word directed toward fearful hearts. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Now listen to the next words. And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. The prophecy there, the promise there, is that blessed is the person whose trust is in the Lord, who hopes in the Lord. That person shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. All the vegetation around may be scorched and dried out, but that tree is thriving because it has deep roots that go in the water, the banks where there is the flowing of the river. And again, that promise says that in the time of drought or when heat comes, that person will be properly cared for. I believe that with all my heart. No matter what, I believe the Lord is faithful to care for his own. The Bible tells us that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord is faithful to raise standard against him. So I invite each and every one of you to, by God's grace, be prioritizing your focus. Get your eyes off of the things of this world and get your eyes upon the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Become like Mary. Unlike her sister Martha, Mary threw aside all troubles and cares of this world, and she was interested in but one thing, and that was fellowship and to hear the words of Jesus. My daughter and I are always blessed to share in closing a duet, a song that we believe is anointed. This is one of those songs. And I don't have time to go through the background, but I would encourage you, after we sing this song, to do a little bit of research and find out about the man who wrote this song and what he went through and where he was at in his life when the very words of the song we are about to sing were written by this man. It is one of the greatest testimonies of all times. I pray that you will be blessed as we minister it in Jesus' name.
Until we meet again, and this time it may be in the clouds, in the presence of the Lord, my friend. Until then, Maranatha, Jesus is coming soon, and very, very soon. So amen, amen, and amen.
Be sure to check out some of our other videos below, and don't forget to like and subscribe. God bless.